Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the channel, Sports Depth is the show. And we open all shows with the legendary John Coltrane's Dear Lord, paying homage to the one, the only true God. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for a little thing we so largely take for granted. We thank you, dear Lord, for blessings forthcoming, blessings in the past, all undeserved, so many unseen, unforknowing. We ask you, Lord, that your way be our way. For your way is the only way. We thank you, Lord, for another day. For many woke up, for many will not see the evening. One point of the Lord, we thank you for all things big and small. And your darling son Jesus died on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. And you may not be everybody's God, but you are God. God, all by yourself. In the name of your darling son Jesus, simply say, amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel. Sports and Death is the show, and she is here.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
The first lady of Blake Radio Sports, the first lady of Sweet Science, Lady A. And at this time, we want to always remind you of the Crystal Heart Show on Time Warner Cable. Channel 56, RCN Channel 83, and Verizon, FIDS Channel 34, and she is on. You can catch her on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Actually, her schedule changes, so you check in. We're going to put her later schedule, but usually she's on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. So if you missed her last night, you got a chance to catch her again last night, but you didn't miss it here. She's here. The first lady of the Sweet Science, the first lady of sports on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, that a lot of times she's talking to me, and I say, hey. She called me the earliest, and I said, no. Call tonight. Let's do a show. It happened. I mean, you lean with the Bowinka type of thing. You like Cotto's chances. He lost Saturday. What positives can we draw out of that fight?
I think that you got to look at it in two ways. Cotto definitely gave the fans what they wanted. I think it's been a long time coming, people waiting to see a very good fight. And I think that he strategically did a lot of things that were long overdue. I mean, I think he's the first guy that actually went out there and set a course, said this is what I want to do, and was actually a little more successful than what many others have been able to do. So, I mean, when you look at, yeah, he lost the fight, but arguably the argument could be made that he set a tone in there. And I think that he's the first guy that I've seen fights in that Mayweather's been in that's actually been able to, get him to bleed more than what anybody else has.
It's the first time we saw Floyd Mayweather Jr. in a fight. He was forced to fight.
Absolutely.
We found out that he could fight. And Cotto showed us a lot too, Lady. He showed us that by no stretch of imagination is he shot? Is he done? I thought he was done. How kind of thinks that way, but I think there's some fight left in him.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, but I got to look at it like this too. I mean, if he walked away, would you be disappointed?
Oh, no, listen,
I think he's fought. When you look at his resume, right? I mean, he's fought just about everybody, I think. I mean, that's out there. All right, look, who is he fought? He fought Mayorga. He fought Margarito. He fought Mayweather, Pacquiao, Clardy, Antonio Margarito twice, right? Mm-hmm. Shane Mosley, Zab Judah, Carlos Quintana, Paulie Malignaggi, that I could think of, right? DeMarcus Corley.
He's for a good core people. No question.
I mean,
about
if
it.
He walks away right now, I mean, I don't think that any fan could say, I mean, would you be disappointed? Yeah, if you're a Real Miguel Cotto fan, because, you know, you want to see guys like that go in there and give it their all and fight like a true warrior. But, you know, I don't think that anybody would be disappointed. I mean, right now he's got the promotional company he's got. He's got a lot of fighters, you know, that are fighting under his promotional company. He's doing very well in Puerto Rico. I mean, if he walked away right now, I mean, I don't think it would be completely, you know, somebody would completely judge him as saying he's stupid. I don't think so at all. You know, especially after the beatings and the wars he's been in, Doc.
Well, I mean, my thing here is him walking away is no problem. You know, when any athlete decides to walk away, that's his call, that's his question. Mm-hmm. The thing I'm just saying is that he looks at there's still some fight left of him. He's not fallen to the position of what Sugar Shane Mosley has. He's no longer an opponent with a big name. And
right.
But now on the other hand, Lady A, we got a question. Alvarez, I mean, he couldn't take out Sugar Shane, who for all intents and purposes is done, is shot.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, I think when you look at Shane at this point, I think he's doing what I mean, and I, you know, I don't want to keep alluding to what Harold said, but on the show this week, but I think he did pretty much what Hopkins is doing now, which is just, you know what, I'm going to stay on my feet and get a check. I mean, when you know, and just to digress a little bit more about what you said about Miguel Cotto, he's, for all intents and purposes, he's not old. He's 31 years of age. You know, so he's still young. I mean, and his resume, you look at his resume, 37-3, 2 KOs, and no draws. I mean, the guy still has fight in him. He's only lost 3 fights. So.
And we can question the one against Margarito. So we can say, for all intents and purposes, only 2 fights.
Right, okay? And let's not forget, too, they fought at a catchweight when he fought Pacquiao. So when Floyd turned around and said what he said about, hey, I look at Miguel Cotto as an undefeated fighter, can you make that argument? I think you can. You know, I think you can. But I mean,
good point there.
You know,
that's a tremendous point.
And you know,
good
another
point.
Thing too is, I mean, a lot of people don't give Miguel Cotto the credit. You know, hey, here's a guy who was overweight as a kid, overcame a vehicle accident when he was told he'll probably never box again because I think he shattered his shoulder. Okay, is a converted southpaw. Okay, and I think that overall the guy has made the adjustments he's had to make to get to where he's got to be at. So
back up, ladies and gentlemen. This is why she's the first lady of sports on Blake Radio, and the sweetest practitioner of the sweet science. Because, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't, and if I'm correct, I mean, Joe Frazier also was a converted southpaw. And if we've learned once again something of insurmountable importance and historical value, not only in the sport, but also in the genre of the ethnicity of both guys. But both guys were southpaws, converted, and became world champions. I thought about Joe Frazier then when I was coming in before we had set the show up, and I said, you know, you look at Joe Frazier's resume, Joe Frazier only lost 4 fights, but he only lost to 2 people. He lost 4 fights only to 2 people, and he lost on 2 occasions to both of those guys when they were the champions. He lost to Ali when he was the champion. They fought to Thriller Manila, and he lost to Foreman when he – no, wait a minute. You know what? Come to think of it, George wasn't a champion when he fought George in the second fight either, come to think of it. When he fought George the first time, he was the champion.
Right.
And when he fought George again out at the Nassau Coliseum with Elizabeth Taylor in the audience, come to think of it, George wasn't a champion either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought about that. But Cotto, Alvarez.
I mean, Doc, look, when you look at the fight, you got to look at it. And basically, I look at it like this. Mm-hmm. Going in and you analyze pretty much Mayweather. When you look at everything, hand speed, footwork, stamina, you could go down the line. I really could just tell you really 2 things that I would actually say that Cotto maybe had more in his favor of. One is the hook. He's dominated and been able to knock guys out with that killer left hook to the body, okay? Mm-hmm. And secondly, when you stop and you analyze it, I think that when you look overall at body punching, Miguel Cotto, just because of, you know, most of the fights that he's been able to KO guys in, you know, that has been his signature punch. Other than that, I mean, in fighting, I mean, people tend to forget Mayweather is a phenomenal in fighter. He could fight inside. I mean, he's controlled most of his fights from the outside. But with his defense and him being inside, he's not afraid to fight inside. And
right,
Miguel Cotto will fight somebody inside.
The point you bring here is, first of all, why go inside if you don't have to, and why go to a guy's strength? And this is the thing we alluded to so often, as we have been puzzled and sort of just can't understand why a guy like Paul Williams comes down and fights inside with that reach, you know what I mean, that he has. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you're saying that, you know, why would you come fight inside with that kind
of
reach? And
my second point with that is Cotto's equally is he could fight inside. He's just as comfortable fighting inside. And both of them have the capability to fight inside. The only thing is when you fight Mayweather inside, you got to realize that, yes, he may not be as great a fighter, and I say that loosely, okay, as great a fighter on the inside, even though he can't fight inside, you know, and dominate somebody inside. But the thing is, it's that much more difficult to get in a fight inside because of his defense and his shoulder parry and his head rolls, because he's able to do that when you got him inside. So he'll shoulder parry you and roll his head all day. I mean, as you can see early on in the early rounds, how difficult it was for Cotto to land effective shots. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he has been alluded for his defense in an article in Sports Illustrated this week. There's been some mention that he may be the greatest defensive fighter. I mean, kind of carried away. But in the inside fighting, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldiers Channel, Sports Network Show, Boxing Way. The Boxing Way with Lady A, boxing feature, as we bring you every now two or three times on the week, the First Lady of Sports and Swedish practitioner of the sweet science, our own Lady A here, part of the posse. And, you know, I remember Roger telling me that he held Floyd back from going inside against Gotti, and
mm-hmm.
he waited three or four rounds, and then he told Floyd about the fifth or sixth round, go ahead inside and work the body. And if you remember, that fight got stopped on the inside. We're looking at the situation here. We've got a big fight next week. Next week, next month. This weekend we've got we got a fight with Amar Khan and Peterson, and nobody's even really paying attention to this fight.
Yeah, because it just got canceled.
Are you said they canceled the fight today?
Yeah, because Peterson found to have a controlled substance or some kind of banned substance in his body, so they canceled the fight.
But hold it now. How did they find that out, though? I mean, because today is only
testing.
Wednesday.
I think they did testing or something, and they found out.
So they were doing random testing?
Mm-hmm.
Evidently. I mean, because normally he wouldn't have been tested.
Right.
I mean, why would he have been tested anyway until after the fight? Right?
I don't really know all the particulars, but,
research.
All we
know, the fight's canceled. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, it's officially canceled for May 19th. You know, obviously they're gonna. I mean, I think the next big fight after that we could talk about is gonna be Bradley
and Pacquiao and Bradley.
Right, Pacquiao and Bradley.
No question about it. I mean, mm-hmm. actually, this fight here wasn't a big fight. It had some merit. We talk Khan and mm-hmm. Peterson, two guys. Khan was a guy who was seen at one time as a rising star, but
right.
I think his luster has sort of waned off, Lady A.
Yeah, I've never been too impressed with him as a fighter. You know, never been too impressed with him as a fighter. I mean, I think the only other sequel we'd probably be looking at that's equally. Actually, there's been rumors about Paulie Malignaggi and Devin Alexander fighting. It hasn't been signed yet, but there's rumors about that brewing because they both hate each other. They've always been shouting out to each other, different. They're both trash talkers, so they've both been kind of trash talking to each other. I mean, they both respect each other. I mean, I think I remember reading an article somewhere where they said that their rivalry is similar to Duke, North Carolina, or the Yankees against the Red Sox. You know what I mean?
I like that.
How much of a rivalry they have going on. I think Alexander told him he beat him in his skirt.
I mean, because Alexander, he's a Michigan mid-country guy, and Paulie's mm-hmm. a Brooklyn boy. I mean, what started this rivalry and this sort of disdain toward each other?
I don't know, but it's been going on for a while. So it's similar to. Ortiz and Brandon Rios, you know,
mm-hmm.
With their rivalry. I we'll see how if it comes to fruition. But I think
the sequel coming up
is going to be Berto and Ortiz. That's the next one.
Berto Ortiz in the wake of this Peterson and Khan fight, and that's always something, you know, if you're a pitcher and you miss a rotation, well, okay, so you don't pitch today. In the old days, today is Wednesday, so you know you're pitching on Sunday, Monday. But now, to be training and then for the fight to go out the window like that. Now, I guess we have to monitor this to see if there's any going to be repercussions implemented against Peterson.
Right.
Up, right. You know. I mean, who knows what may happen with that? Now, with that being said, and one thing about Paulie's always been a game fighter. We salute him as he won a championship the week before last. I remember, you know, Harold called me and Harold couldn't believe it, lady. He said, Paulie Malignaggi has won another world championship. But you took your hat off to him. He traveled to the other guy's country, the other guy's town.
He wasn't expected to win, Doc. They didn't, you know, odds weren't in his favor. He went all the way over there and won it. I mean, but, you know, for years, Paulie's always had problems with his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been rumors about him being calling like a pillow puncher or something like that, you know, because he's never really knocked anybody out, you know what I mean?
Right.
But he's a tough guy. I mean, I can remember when he fought Cotto, you know, how he stayed there. I think he even had a broken jaw that fight, and he stayed in the fight. So he's not.
And also had a tough affair with Khan. But the great line I never forget Floyd Mayweather saying. I remember standing next to Floyd, and somebody had made a comment about somebody had heart, and Floyd said, hey, you know, heart can get you killed in this business. And that's why you like Eddie Foote saying, hey, Joe, nobody will ever forget what you've done here tonight. You know, Angelo Dundee saying, no, I said, Ali, the fight's over. No, he's not fighting, you know. And because you got to look out for you guys. The late, great Alexis Aguayo once said, you can go in this business in the ring at your best and still get killed. And it's a great line by the great Floyd Mayweather, who I think now this fight Saturday has implemented greatness on him. He's a great fighter. He's the best fighter around. Is he the greatest? No. There's no way in the world he can ever be the greatest. Well, he's 43-0. Ray Robinson was 77 over before he got his first title shot.
Right.
Ali fought Joe Frazier 3 times. He fought Kenny Norton twice. You know, great. I said this before, and I love the kid. Great, great young fighter. He's the only guy today that you can slip the title greatness on. Pacquiao is no way near great, but if they had been in the era of Harold and Tommy.
So in your eyes, Doc, you think that he's that much more of a better fighter than Pacquiao?
Oh yeah, I mean
based on who he's fought.
Based on, you know, just two things.
Uh-huh.
Who he's fought, and just he's just better. He's a Maserati. He's a Maserati, and Pacquiao is a Mercedes-Benz. Everybody's hyped up over. You know, he's a top-of-the-line Mercedes-Benz. This boy's a Maserati. But, I mean, let's look at this. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network for the show. Let's look at this. You know, all the guys he beat, after he beat them, they were so-called over the hill. And then Pacquiao beats them after Mayweather beats them, and they're outstanding. No,
okay,
I mean,
so who are you talking about? Let's throw a name out there for the general audience.
Well, we're talking about Ricky Hatton.
Okay.
Let's talk about Sugar Shane Mosley. I mean,
okay.
You know, he beat Mosley, and then, well, nothing, boom, boom, boom. Then Mosley fights Pacquiao, and all of a sudden, Mosley is also credible. I mean, he beats Ricky Hatton, and they talk about, well, look what Pacquiao did to him. Yeah, but Pacquiao did that after. I remember the great line that the late Drew Brandini Brown talked about, the reason why Frazier lost to George Foreman. He said, because we beat him. He said, you know, we beat him, but George mugged him. I mean, people forget, and don't get it wrong here. I mean, I love both those guys are friends and heroes, Ali and Joe. But Joe took a savage beating. I mean, there was talk that maybe Joe would die. There was talk. I mean, Ali had said it, that if Joe died, he was through fighting. People forget the big thing about the fight with the great Emil Griffith and Benny Perrette. It wasn't so much what Emil had done. It's what had happened to him before he got. He shouldn't have been in the ring. And for all intents and purposes, Joe shouldn't have been in there fighting against George Foreman. But I thought Joe kind of underestimated. And you got a question, why was he running from Ali and $4 million and running into George for only, what, about maybe $600,000, $800,000? It didn't make sense. And
I mean, when you know,
Ali,
Doc, you know, okay, you know, I agree with you in some of those points. But let's look overall, because, of course, I have nothing else better to do, you know, but look stuff up. You know me with my boxing. I go all over, okay? When you look at the names Pacquiao has fought and Mayweather's fought, the resume is just insane. You look from 2005 to 2012, okay, let's say up to Miguel Cotto, right? He's fought Gotti. This is in 2005. He fought Gotti, Sean Bay Mitchell. 06, Judah Baldemir. 07, De La Hoya Hatton. In 2009, because remember, he had that layoff like a year and a half, right? He picked up before Juan Manuel Marquez. Then Sugar Shane Moses in 2010, right? And then he fought Victor Ortiz and now Miguel Cotto. Now if you take it back and you look at the last 5 years on Pacquiao, right? You're looking at let's see, you're looking at Morales, Velasquez, Morales again, Eric Morales again, Oscar Larios, then he fights Eric Morales again, Jorge Solis, Antonio Barrera, Juan Manuel Marquez, David Diaz, Oscar De La Hoya, Ricky Hatton, Miguel Cotto, Joshua Clardy, Antonio Margarito, Shane Mosley, and Juan Manuel Marquez. That's Pacquiao. And none of those were losses.
Okay, none of those were losses.
He only lost to Eric Morales. He lost to Eric Morales in 2005.
Yeah, okay, here's the thing, and as we had Mel Cassell has joined us. Mel Cassell, at this time, we want you to come in and welcome the Sports and Deaf Nation as we are doing the Sports and Deaf Boxing with Lady A. Mel Cassell, would you welcome all who have just joined us to join us exclusively?
Well, thank you.
Hey, Mel.
Doctor. Lady A, a pleasure as always. I just want to say hello and welcome to the Sports and Deaf Nation to our midweek discussion on current sports events of the day. Always a pleasure, along with the great Lady A and the straw that serves the drink, Doc Stanley. Thank you.
Thanks, Rooney. The boxing way with Lady A. And Lady A, I mean, there was a time, though, with Pacquiao, he fought in his own stable. I mean, he fought Cotto, okay? He fought Cloudy. He fought Margarito. And the thing here is the Cloudy fight, if you look at that fight, the guy laid down. I mean, it's like the guy had instructions, you know, be careful, don't hurt. Every time he threw a punch of merit, it scored. Every time he doubled up, he connected. It showed like he was hurting him, but the guy got banned from boxing. And then the thing that I thought was the stain, and realized forgiveness is not a case, not going to permanent state of mind, but I thought the stain was not only on Pacquiao, but the stain on top-ranked back boxing and the stain on Bob Arum to not find a way to make Pacquiao Mayweather, and you fought Margarito, and then the thing about it, he's in your own stable too? My goodness. I mean, you're fighting the guy that's in your own stable, a guy that should be banned from boxing, and now it's your third straight fight saying you can't make Mayweather Pacquiao, but you're fighting Margarito. I mean, that to me, that's Rooney. I thought that was grasping for the last straw.
Well, Doc, if I can interject this with you and Lady A, as far as I am concerned, depending on obviously the outcome of what the Pacquiao Mayweather fights, you know, would turn out to be if it ever came off, we should be on Pacquiao Mayweather 2 by now, Doc. Not talking about the making of one. We, depending on how that rumble, you know, how it would turn out, we should be on Pacquiao Mayweather 2.
Yeah, but you know what, Rooney, just to add to, I mean, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that this fight was a bad fight for Mayweather or for Cotto. I think they both And I think they did a hell of a
this
they,
fight,
you know, they performed both really well.
This fight did a lot for boxing. This fight here did a lot for boxing. It was a competitive fight. It showed another side of Mayweather, and it showed the still abilities of Cotto.
I think the main thing you got to say, too, is this is exactly what fans do not mind paying $60 or $70 for. This
job,
is what
Lady
fans
A.
want to pay for.
But not only that, you had a good prelim co-main event with Alvarez showcasing one of the outstanding young fighters.
And so future star in Alvarez, Doc.
Yeah,
how about Carlos Quintana? No one's talking about the Carlos Quintana fight. That was a great fight, too.
Lady A, no. And you know what? You know what? And I got to catch Ellaby, because this fight was co-promoted by Mayweather and Golden Boy. This is an outstanding card.
Right. I mean, can we see later on down the line how Bob Arum is probably going to be turning in his grave? Because now you got two guys that are young promoters that are actually giving the fight fans what they want.
And as Lady A said earlier, what made this so good is the fight fan felt they got their money's worth with their hard-earned pay-per-view dollars, which has not been the case since heaven knows when.
Yeah. I mean, that's like watching the Eloy Perez fight and Adrian Broner fight. Really? Come on. Are you for real? You know, I mean, and now Adrian Broner is a champion? Come on. You know, I just don't feel as a boxing enthusiast that, I mean, when you put those two side by side, who's going to want to see more of a fight like what they saw with Quintana or what they saw with Broner with Eloy Perez? I mean, come on. It's like
you know,
apples and oranges.
You know, no, Quintana, too, is another name brought back into the mix. I remember he was on that's a good little card they had, Quintana.
And Quintana's not a young guy. He's 35 years old, Doc.
Yeah, I know. But I remember him. We had Margarito.
Right.
You had Cotto and Cameron Citron, a nice mm-hmm. little card down there in AC.
Right.
Remember that nice little card they had down in AC? Good little card there. Citron came out, boom. He was, you look back, you bring a good point. And dovetailed and cemented by Melko. So, you know, this was a very, very, very good card from the standpoint of the main event and the undercards. And you're right, it's the first time people could have said, hey, you know what? I got my money's worth, as the main event was a heck of a fight, and as the two other co-main events, Quintana, and to see this, to be showcased a young talent like Alvarez, was really good. And to see, for all intents and purposes, maybe the end or the swan song for Sugar Shane Mosley, but at one time, this guy here was one of the elite fighters of his era and generation, too. I mean, mm-hmm. so it's always good to meet this.
And that's also, there's also the point of, and I've been trying to make this point for some time now, it's the point that, you know, people like, you know, I don't mind putting down my hard-earned money to $55 or $60 or $65, but, you know, show me something. Give me something for
right,
my money,
right,
man.
Right, right.
Show me the money.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You're listening to Sports in Depth, the boxing way with Lady A. That's right. She's here, the first lady of sports on the Blake Radio Network, the sweetest of the sweet practitioner, sweet science, and, of course, the man with the last word, the only word, the final word, Mel Cosell Smith is here. The doctor, Doc Stanley, here. We're doing our midweek show. Had to talk about a tremendous fight card coming off this past Saturday, and of course, Lady A, and right here first, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear a lot of pride, if you hear a lot of braggadocious in me, it's because I am somebody to others. And once again, Lady A, on top of it, the fight has been canceled. The Peterson Khan fight, some illegalities found in the blood system of the champion. That fight is out the window now. Paulie Malignaggi, as you know, a week before last, won a world championship. Brooklyn is back in the house. There's talk of him and Devin Alexander, which would be a really, you know, that would be a fight, Lady A, of really two guys of equal talent and
mm-hmm.
punching power. I mean, you couldn't be more evenly matched than that. Could
mm-hmm.
you?
Well, you know, Devin Alexander kind of, like, to me, he's very fast. He's very elusive. But the fight that he had with Bradley, where he said he had something in his eye and he stopped the fight, I wasn't too impressed with him in that fight.
Mm-hmm.
But he did show some promise in his last fight, beating Marcos Maidana. Maidana, to me, is an overall road warrior in the ring. So, you know, it'd be great to see him fight Paulie. And I like Paulie. Paulie's a great guy. I mean, I see him in all the fights. You know, he's really into the sport. You know, he studies fight tape. He studies the fights. He's just I had the pleasure of seeing Paulie box at Starrett City Boxing Gym about one day when I was sparring about maybe a good 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was before Will Rosinski won his last Golden Gloves title. But
title.
Yeah. But what he's such. A great guy. He was over there helping a lot of the guys from the NYPD boxing team, sparring with what's his name? Danny. I can't think of his last name.
Ayala?
No, Danny. I can't think of. But you know, he was in the ring sparring with him. And you know, just like I said, always into like learning, teaching all the fighters.
I was amazed when I talked to Buddy McGill, when Buddy became a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about that, and Buddy told me, he said, Mel, you know, love Buddy McGregor. No, one of my fighters. And Buddy said, you know, I always wanted to be a trainer. He said, you know, before becoming a fighter, I always wanted to be a trainer. This was a profession and a desire and love that I had. You know what I mean? Being a trainer wasn't something that just came about. It was a burning desire, something that he always aspired to, and he's become one of the great trainers and more renowned trainers. And no matter what nobody says, I've said this a million times, I said again, he prolonged the career of the late, and he was great as a fighter, as a champion, as an exciting fighter. I mean, nobody sold Atlantic City better than he did, and the late, great Arturo Gatti. Break, Grant, gang, we're going to take a quick break. Come back here. We're going to do the last 15 minutes. And I can tell we're going to have to do the mic on, lights off. But Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Depth of the Show. It's the Boxing Way with Lady A. And, of course, the last word in sports, Mel Cosell Smith. Don't nobody move. It's time for a commercial.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
The floaters! We're sort of floating around a little bit here in the Blessing God, Lord Debra.
Leo.
Artifacts Hall of Fame.
Can't.
Yesterday, we had a visit. The Smithsonian came to see the doctor. A lot like the mountain coming to Muhammad was totally, first of all, praise and honor to God and his darling son Jesus for that. What a tremendous blessing. They were in here yesterday. Lady A and Rooney had called to check. They got about here about 10 o'clock. They were amazed. They were amazed at the abundance of what I had. One of the curators, Timothy, which happens to be a lady, and she said, you know, even before we started talking about which way you wanted to go, she said, you know, we want to thank you, she said, for not only what you have, but the way you have preserved it, keeping it so neat and so clean. You know, they were taken back by some of the stories, and I think that's the big thing that Mark, Jonathan Kane, I want to thank him too for being here on site, renowned photographer and video man as we videoed these special moments, and also my man Steve Glazer, my Ace Kumpoon in Fortaleza, Brazil, and they loved so much the stories that went with the items, and that in itself validated and handed all the validity that was substantial for them, and when they left here today, yesterday, it was a proud moment, and more importantly, it substantiated and validated what we've already said of the credibility of what we have here in the Trust in God Sports and Depth Artifacts Hall of Fame. And what was said by Paul Gadul, he said, you know, Doc, we're looking to put together this African American Artifacts Hall of Fame in the Smithsonian. He said, but yes, you do have Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and David Robinson and Pat Ewing, but you also have Larry Bird. And you've got an autograph album by Miles Davis and Dizzy Gillespie, and everything, but you also have Tony Bennett. So it's so much.
How about the Akeem Olajuwon sneakers? Oh, my God.
Lady A, do you know what thrilled them? As Timothy, Paul, and Evelyn, she was talking about the grandeur, the size of Akeem sneaker. And then when I took him into the basketball section and showed them the size 22 of Shaquille O'Neal, she said, when they took a picture of it, they said, no, you have to stand in front of the sneakers so they can see the size of it, you know, to expose it. And you know, it was a host of things. We're talking, I see down the line, the Touch and Guard Sports and Deaf Artifacts Hall of Fame Museum will have some stuff displayed in the legendary Smithsonian Museum, especially in the new museum coming out 2015. They talked about, Doc, you know, let's talk. You know, it's your legacy that can be preserved. It's your hard work that can be sort of appreciated by not just your own. But it was a nice time had by all. It was a special time. In lieu of the fact, I mean, we're talking about the Smithsonian. You know, came here to New York City to see the doctor, and they were taken back by what we had. And Paul said, you know, it's you know, what they basically said, there's no question about the credibility, the validation, you know, of what you had. If, you know, it's got to be, Doc, if you said it, it is. And they were just taken back, and I was blessed. And it was a special time. And they felt that it covers a time period of a good 20, 30 years of African-American and American history. It's sort of a time capsule, and we'll talk some more about that. I just wanted to take this moment to our fans across the world. DocStanleySports.com is the site. You can see some of the things. Mel asked me yesterday, Doc, you know, what are some of the things that you think they were most impressive of taking back with? And some of the things that they liked was the multiple of Leroy Neiman things that I have and what I do with Leroy's things. And I never thought that this guy would, this gentleman would be an artist, would be a close friend of mine. And I always try to get whatever Leroy gives me.
How about those shoes, Doc?
Oh, you know what? You know what, lady? They didn't even see them?
Mm-hmm.
They were so, when we got into the living room and then moved into the dining room, they just kept going down the hall until we got into my little office. But they never saw that. They liked the autographed Leroy Neiman brushes. They liked the fact that I have Leroy Neiman's reprints autographed by him and the athlete, as in the case of Mike Tyson, Ali, Joe Frazier, and the case of De La Hoya. They liked the Negro League stuff. They were really taken back by my relationship with some of the players, as is
mm-hmm.
Robert Scott and the late great Max Manning, because I have a letter, a little thank you card sent to me by Max, and it was a story. It was a good time.
Uh-huh.
It helped me a lot, because a lot of times I started talking about things I had kind of forgot I got. Rooney?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, I thought you were gonna say something. Okay, yeah. So it was.
It was something I wanted to say, but I wanted you to finish, because I have to say something, Doc, that both you and Lady A know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, you know the absolute truth.
Mm.
I was trying to wait till you finish your point, however.
Go ahead, Woody. I'm done.
Doc, and Lady A will back me up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, it seems, and I know why the Smithsonian people were so impressed, it seems that you have a baseball from every pitcher.
Oh, my God.
That ever mattered in this sport. It seems that you have some type of autographed baseball,
oh my God,
or a glove or some such thing from every pitcher that ever mattered and that played this sport, that ever mattered. A bat,
yep,
or a hand wrap or some type or cleat from every batter that ever mattered in this sport, whether he be base stealer, home run hitter, combination of the two or whatever. You have a basketball or a wristband, or as Lady A said, some sneakers from every basketball player team that ever mattered in this game.
But, Doc, it's like he was listening to our conversation, because I was telling you about all those baseballs. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Rooney, he has a whole fishing tank full of baseballs.
I'm not done yet, Lady A. I'm not done. He has, and Lady A, you back me up. We've seen that Hall of Fame, the Sports In Depth. A pair of boxing gloves, mouthpiece, boxing gloves, hand wraps of gloves from every fighter that ever mattered in this game.
You know, one of the things they liked was your buddy that I had a set of cards autographed, and one, well, Jack Johnson, not autographed, but I had the set by Patterson and his son Tracy, the only father and son ever to win championships, George Foreman, oldest man in heavyweight championship world, and your buddy, the first Puerto Rican, okay, to win the featherweight championship of the world. Juan Laporte, and his boxing shoes were hanging in the living room, and they were taken back by them. And one of the things that also they was the bat. And some years ago in the Hillsbury and Bruce company, I had a Stanley Bruce show, and I got a Rooney, get more?
You know something about Laporte, just quickly, Doc. You know, mm-hmm. He was a former classmate of mine in Richmond Hill High School. Mm-hmm. I was on the wrestling team, and Laporte was winning Golden Gloves championships, mm-hmm. and we would drive the faculty and teachers crazy over there because they'd ask, well, what do you do? You know, want to do with your lives? What are you going to be? And Juan would bend their ear about how he's going to be the world boxing champion, world champion boxer. And they
would
say, And I'd say, I want to be a champion wrestler.
A WWF star. You know, what I remember about him, too, Rooney, is the night he fought on the same card that Danny DeVito, Penny Marshall, Judd Hirsch, they all came down to see the the little boxer
Tony Danza.
In fact, you know what? In the Trust and God Sports Dev Hall of Fame, which they didn't even look at, he autographed the boxing card from that fight. Doc Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake with an Epic Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Dev of the show. We got about a good 5 minutes left in this segment, but of course, Mike on Lights Off will be a part of it as it'll be pertinent. The other thing they liked too was I told you I got a Babe Ruth model baseball bat. I always try to do unique things, and what I did, I had Home Run Champions autographed the bat. And besides Barry Bonds and Darryl Strawberry and Ken Griffey Jr. and Jesse Barfield and Frank Howard and Frank Robinson, the only African-American to win a Triple Crown, the only man African-American not to win MVP in both leagues, I also got guys who did distinct things. At home run wise, most leadoff home runs hit by leadoff batter, which was Ricky Henderson. Youngest man hit a home run in World Series, Andrew Jones. The only pitcher of out of six guys that hit two grand slams in one game, and that was Tony Clolinger. So those are the kind of things that really took their interest. And any other thing, I guess they kept to themselves. The question I'm asking here, you gang. We got Bradley. We have Pacquiao. And once again, DocStanleySports.com is the site. If you want to take a look into the Trust and God Sports Staff Hall of Fame, DocStanleySports.com, that's the site. And we also want to thank Big C for all he's done. Happy birthday one
more
time.
Hey, Big C.
Yeah, he's just quietly on the controls. We want to say once again, happy birthday to Willie Mays on the 6th of this month. Right. Happy birthday also to Jerry Cooney that day. The next day was the birthday of none other than Mel Smith Sr., who brought to the world the incomparable Mel Smith Jr.
Well, thank you, Doc, and happy birthday to all. Hey, Doc, one more quick thing while you're getting out birthdays. I know we're running short on time. You know, I had an opportunity once at one of the press conferences that we were at to actually see Jerry Cooney up close and personal. And Lady A, when I saw this big monster, the absolute first thing that I remember thinking is, back then, I'm like, wow, Larry Holmes had to fight this monster? I'm like, wow.
I love that guy.
Cooney?
I love that guy. That guy is so funny, and he has such charisma.
He's a great guy.
He's great.
I'm so upset. I thought I had his phone number to call him and wish him happy. Oh, it must be in the other phone. God, dog, I was looking to give him a birthday call. His birthday is the same day as Willie Mays. The next day, Mel Smith Sr.
We should have him on the show, Doc.
I got to get him.
Yeah, get
Cooney
on,
but
Doc.
See, this is why I tell you when I'm here to take these numbers also, so we also have a backup system. Mm-hmm. Cooney's birthday, Ray Robinson's birthday. I got to take a look. Let me look at you. Gang, hold on. We're going to close out and come back. Larry Hardesty will close us out. We're going to do Mic On, Lights Off. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Network, and the show. It's been our midweek boxing special, The Boxing Way with Lady A, and of all called the man with the last word on sports, none other than Mel Cosell Jr., Mel Smith Jr. So what we're going to do, Larry's going to close, and of course we want you to hang around, and we're going to do about a good 50 minutes. Mic On, Lights Off. Doc Telly, Sports Network on the Blake, with the Network Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Network, the show, Live Your Life Today. It was December for God tomorrow. Life's focus is more urgent question. What are you doing for others? Service to others is with your favorite space in life. I simply say, trust in God. Larry.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
And we are back now. Mic on, lights off. Section here of Sports in Depth. And another good 15 minutes, so we're going to hang with you. Boxing. And float around here. The First Lady of Boxing, Lady A, is here, and the man with the last word on sports, Mel Cosell Jr. We were talking about birthdays. Sugar Ray Robinson on the 3rd, Willie Mays on the 6th, along with Looney Jerry Cooney, Mel Smith Sr. on the 7th, and let me get into my vault, because also we have this month. You know what? I got time. My nephew, PJ RJ, was on the 8th, the 11th. Have this Friday, our good friend, Lady A, Mark Breland.
Oh, Mark, boy, yeah.
Mark Breland the 1st, John Beattie, CEO of the legendary Cotton Club the 13th. There's none other than that, of the Brown Barber, Joe Lewis. The 17th of this month is, check this out, Lou DiBella's birthday, and your guy, Rooney, Sugar Ray Leonard. Yep.
Yes, I got it. Sugar, no doubt.
They got a birthday of the first African-American quarterback in the history. Staten Island High School, Mike Bellamy, Jamie Harris, renowned writer from the legendary Amsterdam News, Rod Thorn, GM of the Nets for a while, and top comic and ventriloquist, Pete Michaels on the 26th. And once again, Willie Mays leads the birthday crew of Immortals, Legends, and People of Merit in the merry month of May. All right, Lady A, you're going to be first. Go ahead, Rooney.
No, I'm sorry. I know you're going to go over to A for a second. I just wanted to tell you an awesome A. By the way, Doc, I want you to know I believe the votes you're in, and even though Lady A is fine, I believe our Sports in Depth Nation basically now refers to Lady A as awesome A. However, I also wanted to say, Doc, it's funny you were talking about Laporte and some of the other fighters earlier. I wanted to say that I actually saw Juan Laporte win the featherweight crown at Madison Square
Tall,
Garden.
Tall, thin, against Miranda.
Good job, Doc, against a 6 foot, listed as 6 feet for a featherweight. That's amazing. Mario Miranda.
Mario Miranda looked like a broom, fought him in the garden on a Don King card.
Yeah, Doc, it's funny you say that. You always say that. Those tall, lean fighters that have a look like Mark Breland are some of the best fighters.
Not only the best, they're the most devastating punches. Tommy Hearns, Ray Robertson. I remember the late, great Art Russ told me the greatest night he ever saw Ray Robertson, the greatest Ray Robertson ever, he told me he's a pencil-thin welterweight, March 24th, 1949, Yankee Stadium, knocked out a guy named Steve Bolois. And his autobiography written by the Pulitzer Prize winning and a good friend of mine, Dave Anderson, he said the best he ever was that night, August 24th, 1949. But if you look back, it's the Foster, Breland, Tommy Hearns, Paul Wynn, those thin, pencil-thin guys seem to have the most devastating punches. You look at the muscle. Harold said that, too. When he sees a muscle-bound guy, he's not worried. Look at the muscles, Kenny Norton. Ernie Shea wasn't a muscle guy, but he was a hard puncher, devastating puncher. But a muscle-bound guy doesn't necessarily mean he has a punch. As in baseball, you could be a small guy with a great throwing arm, but if you look back in boxing, it's always seemed to be those pencil-thin guys, wiry, who just have such a devastating punch. I remember Tommy Hearns knocking out Pepino Cuevas face first. And
oh, my God. And then that guy's hands, Doc. Oh, I actually took a picture when I went to the International Boxing Hall of Fame last year with Pepino Cuevas. His fists are like, it's unbelievable how big his hands are, that guy.
A legendary figure in Mexico, sort of very reminiscent of Chavez as far as the body punches. Chavez, no question, was a
Doc, let me say this about
Doc, I wanted to say one more thing. I don't know if anybody else, one of you guys heard, but did you hear, like, I heard recently that Goody Petronelli's gym closed. I mean, I know that he passed away, but for some reason they said that the gym closed, no longer
exists.
Well,
I mean, I'm thinking, I don't know if his
brothers
probably
got his death, maybe, right, or something?
I don't know if his brothers already passed, and then, you know, I mean, those guys were up there in age because they had.
Yeah, but I'm just surprised Hagler didn't step up and maybe,
well, you know.
Well,
it seems Marvin has, I don't know, it seemed that Marvin just kind of just turned his box on boxing, his back on boxing to a degree of maybe entirely. You know, I don't.
Right.
I would have thought he still had some.
Well, Doc, you know that he always claims that, you know, Marvin always had an attitude and claimed that he had a bitter taste in his mouth with the decision loss to Ray Leonard, and that he felt basically it soured on the whole game, and had basically an attitude towards boxing ever since.
Well, he was a little peeved when he got that draw too against Anthony Firmo on the night of the Benitez Leonard fight. He kind of thought he got a bad deal on that, but
when he beat the hell out of Alan Minter, they almost rioted in the Wembley Stadium over there.
Yeah, that's right. I remember they were throwing stuff in the ring. They were throwing bottles and water bottles and stuff. That part of the stuff. The thing too is, and I remember what Ray said after the fight, and I see it as plain as day. And he was talking, and he said, "Hey, Ray, they took the fight from me." And Ray went to shake his hand, and he was acting like, Ray said, "Hey, Marv, what's that got to do with me? What's that got to do with us?" And I'm thinking, okay, but what's that got to do with his relationship with the Petronelli brothers? Because I remember Ray told me, I'm not talking about what I heard, Ray told me that he wanted to co-promote that fight, him and Marvin himself, but he wanted to bring the Petronelli brothers in. He was so attached, so committed, felt compelled that they had to be part of what he did. And this is amazing to think, and we don't know the whole story, that the gym would that he would just have turned his back on not only boxing, but some of the people who were intricate and pivotal part in his boxing career. And like I said, you said that gym is closed. You would have thought that the gym would have survived somehow, just for the fact that it used to be Hagler's gym. But then again, you know, Marvin wasn't the most remarkable of guys. I mean, he's a southpaw, sort of called the door personality, outstanding fighter, some seem great. But, you know, there are guys who do not draw. And he wasn't the kind of guy. I mean, he's talking about the big money fight. He's making $1 million a fight. But if you understand, there's only one Ray Leonard. There's only one De La Hoya. There's only one Durant. One Ali. And these guys, there's some guys, Tyson, I remember what Emmanuel said. He said, you know, I couldn't wait to get home on a Friday night and see Mike Tyson fight and knock somebody out. I didn't know who he was going to fight. It didn't matter. You know, there's certain guys, when you say, hey, Doc Stanley's fight, Doc fighting you don't even ask who the other guy is. But there's some guys, Bernard Hopkins is one of those guys. Hack is one of the guys.
He has to
have somebody of merit that you want to see fight. But those guys, just them alone, Rooney, them alone is all you need. Doesn't matter who they're going to fight. It's a happening when Ray Leonard fights. It's a happening when Oscar
fights. I like the way you phrase that, Doc, because that's true. A happening, indeed.
It's a happening.
Bigger than a fight, it kind of transcends that. A
right.
Happening,
Tyson,
indeed.
Tyson, De La Hoya, Duran, Ali. Hey, I tell you a guy, too, that made it happening, too. You got to get Tito Trinidad. Tito Trinidad, I mean, this Puerto Rican fighter could fill the gut. It was a happening. The Latins, especially the Puerto Ricanos.
I mean, you know what, Doc? You're saying that, and it's so funny you say that, because I think in New York City, during the week of Puerto Rican Pride, okay, it's coming up next month. Usually the second Sunday culminates, when the parade is, in June, every year. You could have a fight on that Saturday, and every fight that I've been to with Miguel Cotto in that arena was totally sold out. And same exact thing with Tito Trinidad. Every Puerto Rican weekend, that weekend that would be the culmination between the 116th Festival and that day.
They had to get a good name, but Tito did it on up. But you're right, and that was the thing that had gotten me when Miguel fought Sugar Shane Mosley, and Roller Boy kind of took over. I had sort of Oscar a bit different, but the New York City press was sort of delegated to the outer areas of the Garden. You know, they weren't sitting ringside, and a lot of guys were upset about it. And I had said, you know, that was sort of sad because it was the New York Press who made him. Nobody knew who Miguel Cotto was. I remember my good friend Ralph Paliagua coming to me when Cotto first came in. He said, "Doc, we're going to need your help on this one." And by the grace of God, I did a story in Mr. Biofile. The scoop made sure it got into Boxing Illustrated. We got it on the internet. So it was the New York media that really pushed and made this guy, and for them to be treated sort of underhandedly. But then Golden Boy was handled a different way. But you look, there are guys who it's a happening. It doesn't matter who they're fighting. You just want to be there. You know, I'm in love with. I don't care. Hey, if I take her to the movies, to the Waldorf, to the beach. I just want to be with her. And there are a few guys like if you go through the course of boxing, Ray Robinson. Then there's Ali. Then you had Duran. You had Oscar. You had Ray Leonard. You had Tyson. And, there's a few guys. I mean, because for all intents and purposes, neither Pacquiao or Mayweather are the kind of guy that you want to go run and buy the pay-per-view fight. I mean, everybody will pay for the pay-per-view Pacquiao, Mayweather, but nobody, I mean, they make nice numbers. But, we're talking about an Oscar. I mean, imagine the kind of numbers Ali would have today. But when Oscar fights, it's sold out 2 or 3 days. But, Mike Tyson, I said this now. If Mike Tyson came back tomorrow, wherever he fought, it would be sold out.
Yep.
Wherever Mike fought, no matter how big the place was, it would be sold.
Well, Doc, if you look at the numbers for the Mayweather-De La Hoya fight, that had to be one of the highest grossing fights, I think.
No question about it. It was. For that weight, it was. I mean, because and what made it was Oscar was in that fight. And the fact that he fought Mayweather didn't hurt the situation all over. I would like to see what the numbers were like for Mayweather and Oscar and opposed to Oscar and Pacquiao. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, the people in the Philippines were very much against the De La Hoya-Pacquiao fight. They just saw that fight as Dusty's the only one of the few guys who saw Pacquiao winning that fight. But everybody else saw it as a one-sided fight. Oscar was too big, too strong, but Oscar was done. There's two fights that Oscar could have showed a lot better and possibly won had he been 100%. The fight against Pacquiao, the fight against Hopkins, and even the fight against Mayweather. People forget Oscar was in that fight against Mayweather. Oscar was in that fight against Mayweather.
Yeah.
And, it'd be very interesting to see had he been 100%. And the question is how often, and we'll talk with Harold about that, it's not too often that guys do go in at 100%. The thing that the great Azuma Nelson told me when I asked him, was it Salvador Sanchez the best fighter you ever fought? And he said, well, I really can't tell you because I took that fight on 2 weeks' notice. So, integral guys, the chemistry of certain guys. Ray Leonard came out the Olympics. The best fighter in the Olympics, Tab, was Howard Davis Jr. But the guy with the most charisma. But the guy with the most charisma was Ray Charles Leonard.
It's funny, Doc, because when they first came out of the Olympics, their people were talking about matching Howard against Ray Leonard. And at the time, believe it or not, at the time, I was picking Howard to win that fight.
The fight with who?
At the time, we were talking about matching Howard Davis and Ray Leonard coming out of the Olympics.
Yeah, the Olympics, but they didn't want to do it. Both guys were, in fact, Howard's making just as much money as Ray or more, but they didn't want to do it because you wanted to let one go one way, one come the other way, and, had it been that way, there's a very good chance we wouldn't have saw Leonard Duran. When we saw Leonard Duran, we might have saw Leonard Howard. And the thing about it, it would have been a bonanza of a fight because you got the two undefeated golden boys, gold medal winners, and coming back to where they wanted to go. But more important, you know why it happened? If that could have happened, that fight would have been in the Garden. Howard Davis, the boy from New York City, and Ray Leonard, the golden, and it would have been a great setup to get Ray Leonard in the Garden, because Ray only fought once against Terry Norris.
You're saying that about the Garden, and I know we only got like a minute or two left, but that about the Garden just tells me a lot about how easily disappointed some like local fans are that we don't have more fights at the Garden, because every single fight just seems to be either in like Las Vegas, or now lately and most recently in Texas. I mean, it's like, if those two venues are the main, those two areas, like the main areas, and you got so many people on the East Coast that would love to go to some of these fights and
it's
just
funny
can't.
You said something. I remember June 27th, 1988. I remember it as clear as yesterday, as because one of the many, all the blessings of good Lord is blessing one of many of them. And I remember that fight Saturday, June 28th, 1988, for a horde of reasons. Number one, it was my birthday. Number two, it was Atlantic City. Number three, you had undefeated Mike Gerald Tyson against Michael Spinks, the first light heavyweight to ever win the heavyweight championship of the world. And Donald Trump and Don King had such a great rapport. And the last time I saw Donald Trump, I said, you know, when are you going to get back into boxing? I said, boxing hadn't been the same. And he said, hey, and he called one of his assistants. I said, come over here, tell him that. You know what I mean? Him and Mark Cuban were together. I said, hey, you know, boxing hasn't been the same since you. And the Garden had started to ebb, but Atlantic City was getting the fights. And John Condon and Patty Dreyfus, the great John Francis Xavier Condon, welcome to the magic world of Madison Square Garden, godfather of Demony, my godfather in the media world. As he, when I first got into the business, he made sure that Madison Square Garden knew who I was and Joe Goldstein could be other. And he told me, he said, Mel, you know, the problem that started for Madison Square Garden and other arenas, the Garden was number one, because they said the casinos came in. And when the casinos came
yeah.
in, they what they did, he said, well, only that, lady, you know, okay, I got Mel Smith Jr., okay, 23, you know, okay, I can fly Mel and house him in the casino. I can feed him at the casino, and he
right.
can train at the casino.
Right.
A fight at the Garden, okay, I'll house him in the hotel, but now I got to find a gym to train him in, and I got to feed him. And at that time, it wasn't a problem because Gleason's around the corner. But as the casinos came in, they could do everything all in one for the fighter, and
right.
then there was, the, you know, the high rollers with special deals. And
right.
Vegas became Madison Square Garden West to a certain degree. And now,
right.
if you look at Madison Square Garden, didn't have a boxing department. I mean, you
right.
know, I mean, you know, so how are you going to take batting practice and there's not even batting practice pitcher?
Right.
Madison
Harold alluded to that for a couple of times, too, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Harold Weston walked out the door. And I remember when Steve Bifford, who was the PR man, the boxing, when they were on their last leg. And we
right.
talked about some things in boxing. Said Mel, you know, Madison Square Garden is not concerned about boxing. Now, I mean, they don't mind. As I talked to my good friend the other day, and he talked about that. They say, yeah, they do want the big fight. You know, but what you say and what you mean and what you want is entirely different. Because I mean, they want the big fights from a perspective of housing and showcasing them, but they don't have a boxing department. So how serious
right.
can you be about boxing?
Right.
I mean, and how serious can you? You don't have a boxing
department. I mean, which is sad because, I mean, unless you have, I mean, the only fight that you know, fights that you know you're going to see yearly, I would say, you know, and of course, you know, as a local, I could say this, the only fights that you know you're going to see like yearly without any equivocation is the Golden Gloves. Those are the amateur
mm-hmm.
fights
wow.
you know you're going to
wow.
see every year. Outside
mm-hmm.
of that, you mean? I mean, last year. We didn't get a chance to see Miguel Cotto during, like I said, during the
Puerto
weekend for Puerto Rican because
well,
guess
he,
what?
He fought
at Yankee Stadium. So Madison Square Garden was not a venue that was accessible at that time.
Well,
so,
like Doc said, that casino money, lady, yeah, he coming
exactly.
in from, you know, Atlantic City and Vegas, it's hard to match that casino money. They'll
you can't
pay that kind of dough just to get those guys here to get the drug of traffic at the table.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
I mean, and again, like Doc, again, like
go
you
ahead,
know, what are we subjected to as local? And you know, I could say that for all three of us because we all live locally. But what do we have to do? We have to go either to Atlantic City, 2 hours away, or go 2 hours north to Connecticut, to Mohegan Sun, or Foxwoods. I mean, those are our options. I mean, why
there
can't we?
There may be a ray of hope, though. There may be a ray of hope because Golden Boy has made a connection with the new place in Brooklyn, so that could change everything. That could change everything. I mean, what's going to happen? The Golden Boy is going to be the promoter. But it could be a venue that other people will say, well, you know what? It is New York City. And, you know,
well, I mean, we do have the local fighters, Zab Judah, you know, Will Rosinski, you know, all the fighters that are local. You know, Mark Breland, Mike
yeah,
Tyson, all from Brooklyn.
Riddick
you know,
Bowe. Talk about Zuda and Malignaggi.
Malignaggi
right?
also.
About,
I mean, those
yeah,
are Brooklyn
yeah.
fighters. Yeah, I could see that.
So, I mean,
could
so,
definitely
I mean,
see that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so maybe that's going to be, and I think they looked at that, too, as due to the weakness of boxing in the Garden in New York City. And it's a great thing, too, you know, because you're in Brooklyn, because the guy from Long Island now can come and get up the train and be mm-hmm. there, as opposed to having to come all the way to the city, and then those outrageous parking fees they charge.
That's right.
You pay as much to park the cars as to see the event.
That's right.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know,
Doc
Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake, with another Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Dev, the show, the closing minutes. Lady A, Pacquiao and Bradley, who wins and why?
I'm gonna say Pacquiao. I think he's just entirely too fast for Bradley. And does Bradley have a chance? Of course. But I still see Pacquiao taking that fight.
Mel Cosell Jr.
Pacquiao gets the boot for the same reasons Lady A said, Doc. I think he's gonna be too fast. I think his ring generalship experience.
Effective aggression, yep.
Effective aggression, yeah, he's going to be right there. He's going to be throwing punches and bunches like he always does. However, Doc, he is getting a bit older, that window mm-hmm. on he, like it is on Mayweather. You saw a little bit of age there. Great mm-hmm. fight, tremendous fighter, but they're both getting father time waits for no man. And I do want to see one thing I will be looking at, Doc, specifically on the part of Bradley. I want to see how he handles the big stage.
People forget how it's different playing a game in the playoffs than it's during the regular season, and a playoff game in the World Series. Lady A, can you shout out one more time the guys we want to thank for putting together our Sports and Deaf caps and T-shirts?
Absolutely. Justin Nash, who is no longer at the Riverhead branch at Lids. He's now at King's Plaza. You know, thanks a million. We definitely will reach out to you soon to try to get you, on board with some more paraphernalia for the show. Also want to give a shout-out to Tiffany out of Riverhead for listening big time. And I also want to give a shout-out to my brother, whose birthday was last week. Happy belated. And, you know, just our Sports and Depth Nation, thank you for tuning in the middle of the week on our show.
It's been Lady A, the boxing way, the first lady of cable television, Crystal Hart, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on
Yeah, our prayers
MMM.
For her, Doc. Our prayers are for her.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, certainly are.
Yeah, her father is feeling better. She's on Channel 56, Time Warner Cable, RNC Channel 83, and Verizon FIDS Channel 34. Happy birthday again went to Mel Cosell and his dad, Mel Smith Sr.
Thank you, Doctor.
Sports.com. That is the site. And let me, before we go, what was the one thing at the Trust and Guard Sports Hall of Fame that wowed you, that captured you, outside the Gordie Howe stick?
Oh, my God, Doc, that Gordie Howe stick. How did you know I was going to say that?
I also found Score You Go, and I got a couple of Gordie Howe hockey pucks, and a couple of Gordie Howe, which is a great guy. Great player and one of the greatest players ever played the game. And I've told by so many people that the hockey player, Larry Hart, is the greatest African sportscaster in the history of African American radio in New York City media in the world. He said that the hockey players are just so nice, so congenial. He said they're the best of all the athletes. He said, Doc, you know, you got to cover some hockey, which I'll have to.
Let's go Rangers, Doc. Come on, let's go Rangers.
Well,
they got to
win. Let's go Rangers. Let's go Islanders. Let's go Devils. I remember when they won the championship a few years ago, we had the double goalkeeper. I have an autographed hat by him, but the Devils came down at Larry Hardesty's show. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Twitter, Network Rainbow Solar Channel.
But wait, Doc. You didn't get it. Let me tell you what was the biggest thing. You interrupted me.
Before we cut off,
I was going to say the hand wraps, all the hand wraps you have there, Doc, is crazy.
And the most impressive was the Roy Jones one?
Yeah, of course. You know that.
Love you, gang. Ronnie, let you close us out. Tell everybody. No, hold it. We're going to do a little theme music. We're going to do a little Man Stanley Turrentine. We have an autographed Stanley Turrentine album and the Trust in God Sports and Artifacts, as well as a nice photo of me and my favorite saxophonist.
It's not black and white, right? It's not cheesy photo. It's like a
color. Hey, listen. Leave me and Harold Weston alone. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio. Live your life today. And if you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is to make you pay for your space on earth. The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. I said, be safe from the bottom of my heart. God bless you all, and trust in God. Larry Hardis. Don't move, Rooney.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Again, we're going to work a little elevate. I like this midweek. You've been listening to The Boxing Way with Lady A, and we've been joined by Mel, the last worker. So, Smith, Rooney, say goodnight to everybody for us.
Good night, folks. Sports in Depth Nation. Tell a friend, because it doesn't get any better than this on the Blake Radio Network.
Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Depth, the show, Lady A, the first lady of sports on the Blake Radio Network, and Mel Cosell, Smith Jr., for our special guest and host. We thank our first lady of radio, Deidre Shula, and also the CEO, Mr. Neil Blake. The voice, closing and opening, is none other than Larry Hardis, the ESPN sportscaster and the sideline reporter for the New York Jets. We'll be back during the week, but don't forget, we're Sundays, 9 to 11 here on the Blake Radio Network and www.blakeradio.com. You want to send a donation, and you want to catch it with the Sports Network Hall of Fame, DocStanleySports.com. With that, we say goodnight to you, and from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God.